Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Healing the Parent Wound. I'm your host, Tracy Principe. Thanks so much for tuning in. New listeners, longtime listeners, really, really appreciate your support. And if you are interested, I invite you to join our new Facebook community called Healing the Parent Wound podcast community. So it's just for the podcast listeners so that we can create a community on Facebook in a private group where we can connect more over there and ask questions and get support. So let's dive into today's episode. I think I've talked about this somewhat before, but maybe not in depth. And I want to revisit it because it's coming up for a lot of clients and I'm hearing it a lot is the golden child, you know, the scapegoat and the golden child. But this is more specifically around the golden child role in dysfunctional families and what that really can mean and what that looks like, what that means for you as a scapegoat. And this, again, is based on my experiences of working and talking to hundreds of people that have a similar experience and similar dynamics, right? So taking that information and breaking it out for you all in the hopes to understand that a little bit better. So with that, let's dive into that a little bit more. So this is specifically talking, assuming that you all are scapegoats. This is specifically talking about a sibling that might be, that is most likely a golden child, right? And perhaps you, and maybe your role changed. Maybe you were the golden child and that became the scapegoat. That can happen. Not very often, but it can definitely happen. But usually those roles will stay the same. So if you think about a sibling that might be a golden child, you might be thinking, oh, that's my brother, or that's my sister, right? You immediately know who that is already, right? And so with that, oftentimes it is a male. I see that more than the female, golden child, but I see that as well, right? But oftentimes it is going to be a male child that is placed and assigned that role, right? So that golden child role got designated by your parents, your caregivers in childhood. It's that child that is favored, that is looked upon highly. They maybe got more attention, oftentimes for their performance, right? They're spoken about positively. They can do no wrong. They are often very manipulated by the parent to uphold the family secrets, right? And embrace those covert, manipulative tactics. And of course this is all unconscious in the family, dysfunctional family system, right? So the golden child is a good child and the scapegoat, of course, is the bad child, to break it down. And they're often at odds with each other because that was set up to be that way. So as in an adulthood, the scapegoat and the golden child are not going to have a good relationship. They're going to be at odds with each other still, right? Because they're still, you know, that golden child is still in that role of upholding the family secrets, keeping the dysfunction going. And that's unfortunate. I see that all the time across the board, that as adults, those siblings are still, they have a terrible relationship and they are just still pitted against each other. There's no way that they could ever have a relationship. And that is part of the grief and loss, truly, that is just really, really sad, you know, really, really unfortunate. That was set up and designed that way by your caregivers, by your parents. And that is, you know, that is something that also needs to be healed in all of this, right? Because you lost your sibling and they are never going to know you. They're never going to know you, you know, for who you are. They can't see you or hear you. Just like your parents are never going to know the real you, right? They can't see you or hear you. It doesn't matter how much you explain yourself or try to be on their good side or, you know, help them or whatever it is, right? It's just never going to happen. And that's also part of the grieving and the loss and this whole healing. So, So somewhere in there, and I hear from a lot of clients that oftentimes when they have, they might have a younger sibling, right? That golden child might be a younger sibling, that it started when they were a baby, right? Oh, you're jealous of your brother or your sister or, you know, something that starts the whole breaking of that relationship. That relationship got broken, you know, really early. So, and you might remember something like that, or you might not remember something like that. Somewhere, you know, somewhere in there, there was something, you know, that you might remember that your parents were always pitting you against each other. And it could have been very covert. And as a child, you might not have been able to make sense of that. Or you might have known that something was wrong, right? So, but it would have been some kind of separation, some kind of pitting against each other. And you know, it can look like a lot of things, right? So it could be that baby is born and, oh, you're jealous because you have a sibling now, or, you know, something like that, or maybe a little older, you just recognized or felt something, you know, that golden child, you know, you were taking the blame for everything and they never got in trouble. Even when you knew that, you know, they were doing something wrong. And then when you tried to express your anger and discontent with that person that was, you know, well, this is unfair, then you really got the blame for that, right? You're acting out, you're showing emotion, and you really felt like something wasn't okay, right? Or you really felt that, wow, there really must be something wrong with me. And that happened over and over again throughout your entire childhood into your adulthood. These roles keep playing out, right? That's a tremendous amount of trauma to consistently not be heard, to be gaslit, to have your reality denied over and over and over again, right? And what that can do to a child, and thinking about your, you know, as an adult, what that still does, right? So this lack of a bond with that sibling, where you might even feel like you just hate them, you just absolutely can't stand that sibling. Again, that is, you never had a chance. You never had a chance. To form a relationship, to have a connection. So those, you know, being at those odds will just never get resolved, because, and the scapegoat's always the one that's trying to resolve, right? Work harder and try harder and earn, you know, respect or trust or whatever it is, but it's just never, ever going to happen. You might have glimpses of that, but it's phony, right? It's fake. It's just not going to, it's just never going to happen. So the golden child is not untraumatized, right? So they are very traumatized. And often what I see, and I've said this before in previous podcasts, is that golden child will oftentimes usually have an addiction. Sometimes it could be alcohol or drugs. That's pretty noticeable, but it could be other things that are not noticeable to you, right? So it could be a porn addiction or just working all the time or, you know, infidelity. But I can almost guarantee that there's an addiction there, because that pressure to hold up those family secrets and live up to the golden child can do no wrong, has to succeed, all of those things. That's a lot of pressure. And they also didn't get their needs met. They also were not seen for who they are, right? They were thrown into that role. And so you might hate them and feel animosity, and that's understandable given the history and given those relations growing up. But that golden child is also very traumatized, because that doesn't happen in a vacuum, right? It's the, again, going back to that intergenerational trauma and that family of origin trauma, it all happened in the same household. So, you know, just one component of it. So, your caregivers and your parents have developed this sense of self based on their, and if you want to call it, you know, narcissistic traits, they definitely have those narcissistic traits. The developed sense of self is from their own dysfunctional, traumatizing childhood, right? Where they believe that they had to be a perfect child, and they had to, you know, because they had to be a certain way in the household that they grew up, right? And so them believing to hide their insecurities and their own self-worth issues by being the perfect parent, they are trying to, this is that trauma reenactment, they are trying to heal the wounds of their own childhood, right? So this is reenacted and played through the chosen child, the golden child, that one that gets all the attention. And it's really unhealthy attention, right? It's very, very unhealthy and dysfunctional. But you didn't know that when you were a child growing up. You know, of course, you didn't know that. So through that, they're using their own child to prove to other people who may have doubted their self-worth, including themselves. They're also proving to themselves that they have value and they have worth, right? And they're doing that through their own child. And this is why it's so, so important to heal these wounds so we don't carry that out to our own children. How devastating is that? So that emotional, extreme emotional manipulation that goes hand in hand with being that golden child wreaks havoc, right? Extreme codependency, enmeshment, addictions, and truly the next generations of more narcissistic, addicted personalities that come through that style of parenting. So that parent is using that emotional manipulation that is based in their own deep, deep shame and anxiety and self-hatred, really, that they're solely relying on that golden child to make them feel better, to make them feel competent and worthwhile. And that child, the golden child, is burdened with those, that ongoing responsibility of making his parent feel good about themselves. And so even that golden child, they don't get the opportunity to develop a healthy identity of their own. They are just an extension of their parents' narcissistic traits and, you know, rage and dysfunction. So it's important for you to see it through that lens instead of, and this is, I know this is really hard, because as scapegoats, you know, we just took on that so much burden of, I'm the bad one, right? And this person is getting all the attention, getting all the accolades, you know, put on a pedestal. And it's really important to see it through this lens of trauma, right? Because again, this is family of origin trauma, and it happens to all of those in that household, and it didn't start with you. It is that intergenerational trauma passed through your own caregivers that they are passing down to you. And it's so, so important to understand this hierarchy, this ladder of this intergenerational trauma, right? That it's your, you know, it is, you're also carrying that burden that doesn't belong to you. So going back to that golden child that didn't get to develop a healthy identity of their own, they are an extension of their parents' messed up sense of self, right? So that golden child is constantly in that role of also people pleasing, right? And trying to please the parent, because they have to live up to that expectation, right? And they have their own emotional demands that have been placed on, and they have adapted to, right, becoming accommodating in a different way than you, but still accommodating, right? And this brings that praise. This is how they get love, right? Conditional, but this is how they get love, as long as they're continuing to feed that that parent that is so has such a hole and a void, right? And so your parents have that hole and that void, and each of you is trying to feed that monster that never, ever, you know, gets fully fed. That hole in them, as we know, the hole in us, doesn't get fed through external sources like other people, right? That hole just continues to get bigger usually. So it doesn't matter if we're trying to feed that hole with alcohol or drugs or sex or work or food or other people, it just continually grinds out, you know, that sense of loathing and shame and low self-esteem until we do the, you know, the internalized work, right? So that golden child adapts to that parent by becoming accommodating in a different way than the scapegoat, right? But they get that praise and conditional love. So that keeps going in adulthood because it's not being addressed and it's unconscious, right? So this goes unchanged in adulthood. So that primary task set in childhood continues wreaking havoc on their own relationships. So the golden child will have their own parenting style, and their own, you know, their relationships usually aren't good, because the golden child will think of their parents' needs before their own. And they can often be that successful business person and pillar of the community, but they usually have a very grandiose sense of superiority over everyone around them. So often they are some kind of leader or CEO or high-level person, and successful with a lot of money, right? because those demands that were placed on them, which are impossible to fulfill, right? They switch that to their own place of importance in the world, in the community. And then the parent, as an adult, can say, oh, look at my adult son. He's the CEO, or he started his own business, or, you know, he's got a million. So often that importance placed on those external factors like money and prestige and power, that's all very, again, you know, as an adult, well, I must have been a good parent because look at my son, or daughter. They're this person and a pillar of the community, and they're so successful and great. So that happens a lot, and the parent will take they'll take ownership of that. They will, you know, well, I did that, right? I'm the parent, and look how successful they turned out. Even if you're successful as a scapegoat, they won't see that in you, right? So, so that's really common. I see that a lot. And so again, that golden child and you as a scapegoat, you're never going to have, that golden child will never have your back, right? They'll never have your back. Because they're an actor. They're an actor. And they are loyal to your parents. They're loyal to your parents. And it's coercive control, right? It's coercive loyalty that started in childhood. They were coerced to being loyal. They were manipulated into that role to serve the needs of the parent. And then it just kind of became enmeshed. So, you know, they're supporting one another in adulthood, and it's actually really enmeshed, right? Because that enmeshment is unconscious, coercive loyalty that started in childhood. And it's like they don't even know that they're doing it, and they can't see it. They cannot see it. And so when they do this loyalty enmeshment thing, there's usually some way they get rewarded, right? So this keeps it going. It'll keep it going because they're getting rewarded. So that could be, again, depending if you're contact or no contact. If you're no contact and you said, I'm out, peace out, you guys go do this thing, that machine will keep on grinding, right? So you take yourself out, I'm done. And a lot of scapegoats do that, right? As again, the last, you know, the last straw, I'm out of here. I'm going to pull myself out of this and go no contact, right? And so that family system keeps on going. And that golden child will keep on, you know, that enmeshment cycle will keep on flowing, and they will keep on getting rewarded in that cycle. Even more so, you'll still be talked about, demonized, you know, that cycle, you're just not in it anymore. They might find a replacement sibling, right? They could sometimes find a replacement sibling. Sometimes it's actually the golden child's children, depending on their ages. They will be in that cycle. So somebody might take the place of you in that family system. That I see that a lot. And oftentimes if the golden child has children of their own, they will be trained to get in that system, right? And you most likely won't have a relationship with them either. They'll be lost to that dysfunctional family, and they will oftentimes also be trained to not support the scapegoat and to treat you as less than. And they will be trained to, again, get into that system of supporting one another in that coercive loyalty, right? So I see that with the golden child's own children get into coercive loyalty with their grandparents. And that's very sad, because now they are, stuck in that performance and only receive accolades and attention when they are doing things that the parent sees as deserving, right? And if any of those family members show support to you as a scapegoat, they will be extremely penalized. the parent usually will withdraw support for them, right? And they can't, and again, someone stuck in that system that's also been raised a people pleaser as part of that family tree, it will just be too much to be ousted from the family system to, you know, feel like, right, their life is being threatened. Again, their survival system will be activated, and they just can't take that. They can't take the entire family turning against them. If they're deemed a supporter of the scapegoat, right? That is a threat to their survival system. And again, it's unfortunate, but that is how, if we can look at it from, they're also traumatized because they came from that same family tree, right? Aunts, uncles, cousins, other children of other siblings, right? Nieces, nephews, all came from that same family tree that spread this intergenerational trauma out, right? So rarely do I ever see a golden child wake up from this family system. I'm not saying that they can't, but I have rarely seen that. Right? They are really stuck in that cycle of performance. It's very difficult to get out of, especially, again, like I said, if they have money and they have prestige in the community. That's very, very difficult to come out of. They would need some kind of consequence, right? They would maybe, you know, if they have an addiction issue or they would definitely need some kind of serious, serious consequence. And again, when they're the golden child, that often doesn't happen because, you know, even if they're like an addict or an alcoholic, if they have an addiction issue, oftentimes the parent will cover that up for them or other family members, again, will cover that up, will bail them out, right? They got a DUI or, you know, maybe they went to jail and somebody's bailing them out and covering that up. So they often don't have a consequence where they hit a bottom or something that kind of, you know, makes them examine their own life, right? That usually doesn't happen because they have, because of that codependency and enmeshment, they will have somebody, a parent or other family member, or even their own spouse will, because they're going to most likely partner up with somebody that is codependent, right? So they will have a spouse that will cover up for them or bail them out and, you know, take them back, you know, but even if they are successful and a pillar of their community and have money, their relationships are going to be a freaking train wreck, guaranteed, because that's the trauma, right? It might look good on the outside, but again, if we see through what trauma really is, it shows up in relationships. And so they might look good on the outside. You might even feel bad because you can never live up to that, you know, that successful golden child sibling that has the money and all that. But I guarantee their relationships are train wrecks, right? And their life could be barely hanging on, even if they look good on the outside, because this is trauma too. They just don't see it and they don't know it, right? So really seeing things from that lens and understanding how this affected everybody in your family in such different ways and how insidious it really is, right? To really understand the ramifications of this and the detriment of what is happening in this. So that performance to earn love while mistreating their sibling and further continuing those strained relationships and to carry out the family roles. Like, is that freaking necessary to cause all that harm and destruction, and for what? Because you had your own trauma that you didn't, you know, that you are unwilling to look at. that you put it on your children? Doesn't that make you angry? Like, this should make you so angry. And yeah, it's okay to be angry. I want you to be angry because that anger is going to help you. You're going to use that anger to feel, to change, right? To set boundaries, to assert yourself. That's what healthy anger is. All right, we're going to take a breath. I invite you to just place your hand on your chest for a moment and just take a deep breath with me. Feel your feet on the floor if you'd like. Or feel your legs. Feel your arms. Just notice what's happening in your body as you think about, you know, what you're hearing right now. Just what I'm saying. Just notice any sensations in your body. Notice if you did feel some anger, your chest got tight, or you felt, you know, a sensation in your stomach, or maybe, you know, you wanted to clench your hands or you tensed up a little bit. Just noticing that. Just noticing. All right, so going back to that golden child sibling, maybe you're thinking about, you know, if you're thinking about your sibling in a slightly different way now, you kind of you're this is resonating for you, and how you know, your sibling is in the world and how they operate with your parents. Maybe if you have other siblings, if your sibling, how they operate in the community, right? How they operate in their own relationships, and how they hold those family secrets together by being in this role, right? And can you see them in a slightly different way? Can you have compassion for yourself and maybe a little compassion for them as well? And if you can't, that's okay. If you're like, nope, I don't have any compassion for them, that's okay to feel that way. In the healing process, we do get to a sense of feeling compassion for ourselves and also feeling compassion for our sibling, because they experience trauma in a different way, but ultimately really having compassion for that intergenerational trauma that affected everyone and is still affecting everyone, whether they're aware of it or not, right? So that child is trapped in the psyche of your parent, your narcissistic traited parent, who sees their achievements and who sees that sibling as an extension of themselves. So the parent is motivated to side with the golden child because it makes them feel good about themselves. And somebody has to be the bad kid, right? Because they can't have, because they don't have the ability, the parent doesn't have the ability to see two separate individuals as, you know, siblings that, you know, can foster. Parents are responsible for fostering relationships between siblings, helping them work things out, also allowing them to have their own feelings and emotions, and, you know, allowing them to kind of figure out their own battles if it's appropriate, stepping in when it might be appropriate, asking them if they need help, right? Parents are responsible. Hey, little baby's born. Yeah, I know you've been the only child for the past 3 years or whatever. You must feel really, I know this is really hard for you. Validating a child when another child comes into the family, things like that. All of those things that you didn't get that you deserved, right? Because they couldn't, because a parent cannot do that. If they haven't addressed their own trauma and their own unresolved emotions. So instead, they have to, they get motivated by making this a golden child an extension of those parts of themselves to make themselves feel okay about themselves, right? And this person is bad, and this is that black and white thinking. Because the golden child and his extension makes them feel good about themselves, right? And that is the direct result of not direct result of you. It is the direct result of your parents' unresolved trauma. And that is sad. And that is what is happening with these dysfunctional families that most people don't even know they're in, right? Most people don't even know that they're in that because they just, how would you see that? You would think it's normal unless you had something else to relate to or somebody said, oh, hey, no, this isn't normal, right? So the scapegoat is the one that gets healing because we recognize somewhere in there, wait a minute, something isn't right here. But the golden, that's not going to happen for the golden child most likely. If it has happened, I'd love to hear from you. So if you were the golden child and you switched roles, or you were the golden, and you somehow like woke up to like, whoa, something's wrong here. If you're a golden child and scapegoat and you do have a good relationship with your sibling, how did that happen? I'd love to hear those stories too, because I don't often hear those stories, right? The majority of what I see is these battles still playing out in adulthood, which is really sad. So in ending this podcast episode today, really for the scapegoat, removing yourself from that system is the best thing you can do. Setting boundaries around those sibling, that golden child sibling's behavior, because they can be mean and nasty and manipulative, right? And those parents that are still doing the same thing, that is really your best bet. And allowing yourself space and clarity and to definitely seek help and through a therapist or other professional to get help for that, somebody that really understands these dysfunctional family dynamics is really important. And again, how that trauma gets stored in the body, right? And that's really all you can do. And working through the loss and the grief of that, because there's a lot of that, and then there's a lot of complex feelings. This is really, really, really complex. And that's really the best thing that you can do for yourself, instead of, no more self-abandoning and trying to explain and trying to do all, because it'll just never, ever, ever happen that you will get to be seen or heard. And it's not your fault. It was never your fault. This is the direct result of your parents' unresolved trauma and your whole entire lineage of generations before you. And you can know that on a cognitive level, but your body doesn't know that, right? Your body is that wounded child that wants to go back and try to get love and try to be seen and try to be heard. And that's that trauma reenactment. Your parents are reenacting their own childhood trauma through having children and creating these roles. That's sick and sad. And the only thing that we can do is break free from that and heal ourselves so we don't pass on that same system to our own children, just like your golden child sibling is most likely doing with their children, right? So feel free to email me, tracy@tracyprincipe.com, if you have any thoughts. I think you can do that now on this podcast as well, but I'd love to hear from you about that. And again, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you would like to join the free Facebook community to connect more over there about the different episodes, anything that comes up for you during these episodes that are in this information that I'm sharing with you, this is a safe place where we can connect and talk about these things. And that, again, the Facebook group is called Healing the Parent Wound Podcast Community. All right, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much again for tuning in, joining today, and I will see you soon. Thanks so much.